They are the best of the best.
The FBI Academy is the toughest boot camp, hardest grad school rolled into one.
They're smarter. Smarter.
Congratulations. You made it in.
Let's see if you can survive.
They're tougher.
Don't move! Keep your hands where I can see them!
And one of them will become our nation's greatest threat.
Wait, are you telling me you think one of these people is a terrorist?
Priyanka Chopra stars in Quantico. Series premiere Sunday, September 27th, 10, 9 central on ABC.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, Straniacs. Are you ready to talk about the strain here at AfterBuzz TV? Guys, thank you so much. I'm really getting creeped out by the people across the table right now. I feel like Stephen Lemieux's tongue is just going to shoot out of me. I'm going to scoot further away. But guys, thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Zach Wilson, and we are talking about the strain episode, The Assassin. We're going to break down tonight's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can tweet at me throughout the show, throughout the week, at ThatZachWilson. Now let me introduce my fantastic panel for tonight, Jackie Borowski.
Hi, it's 123 Jackie B.
And now the less fantastic panel is Steven. You can find me on
you're pretty fantastic. At Steven Lemieux.
Your words.
We decided to use the old intro, you know, because the new one wasn't working too well for us.
Even use the new one on the version I watched.
No, they didn't.
Not this week. No,
yeah, it
appeared for 1 week and then went away.
And then they realized it did not work for
just like how we changed it up with a song for 1 week, and then we came back to this.
I honestly think it came down, I think we must have cut last week's episode and been short. Because that was such a long intro.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Matt Lieberman, unable to join us tonight. It was too much of a strain for him to be here. But he sends his best, and we'll see him again.
Someone wrote, I have to read this, oh my god, plot twist, Dutch is really in love with the Coco. It just made me laugh.
Dutch just feels like she should be able to love anyone she wants, because love is not simple.
She wants to have her cake and eat it too. A. B. I'm wondering why we're having a conversation about monogamy in my post-apocalyptic vampire show. Not interested. Not interested.
What was the conversation about monogamy?
The whole first scene.
Steve, did you
miss the whole polyamory versus monogamy discussion?
I may have tuned it out a little bit.
As you should have.
No, I know.
It has nothing to do with the show. It just was so weird.
I was like, okay, so is she going to hook up with Ephraim now, or is that what's going on?
They're trying to justify keeping that wet blanket character around Natalie. Is that her name?
Wait,
Natalie?
Who?
Her lesbian lover.
Yeah, Natalie. Yeah. Her ex, maybe, girlfriend.
I'm all for bringing in homosexual couples, but in this instance, the character that she's in love with is so friggin' boring.
So basically, Dutch just wants to sleep with everyone.
This is the thing, is she's not saying that she wants to sleep with everyone. She's not, like, that's not what she's trying to say. I like when even science fiction shows can get into the more, like, just realistic, like, parts of our relationships. I didn't mind this conversation because it is something that the character is dealing with. And, like, while you're, like, sitting waiting to, like, spy on somebody, like, two cops waiting in the van, you talk a lot about yourself. I expected F, to be honest, to come out with the stuff from Washington, D.C.,
I am just, okay, I understand your reference to the cops talking in the van, but those are cops. They're on the job doing what cops do and what cops do every day. Dutch doesn't really assassinate people every day. Ephraim doesn't really assassinate people every day. I mean, nowadays it seems like he does, but he doesn't really.
No, it
just seems like, I understand that they're trying to take their mind off of things, and I like that they're progressing that way. It just doesn't seem like F's the one to talk about this to.
You're not.
I would agree with that. Because I agree with, Zach, I agree with you saying that, okay, just because this is a sci-fi show doesn't mean they have to have realistic conversations, because we want to ground this world in some semblance of realism so that we, so that when we have these situations like the Battle of Red Hook, we feel like we could insert ourselves into mm-hmm. that situation. But at the same time, this particular conversation felt contrived, and I think Steve nailed it on the head, because why is she sharing this with F? It just seems so, like,
The characters don't really have
random.
Anything. They haven't really had very much
interaction
at all. So for her to, like, really open up to Ephraim, of all people, after,
and she's a very closed-down person.
And the only real interaction we've gotten this season was him being a total dick to her. So then she's now opening up to him, and they're cool. It just seemed weird. Like, I would have liked to see this scene with, like, maybe her and Natalie, or even her and Zach would have been interesting.
Yeah, that's fair. It's fair. I really
would have liked to see with her and Zach. Listen, kid. Monogamy, it doesn't work. You're a 12-year-old asshole. You should know this.
I didn't even realize what I was saying as I said.
But in my mind, I guess this didn't really come through as much in the scene as sort of me put it, like, implanting my thoughts onto it. But it seemed like this was just, like, who was around, and she, like, needed to just to, like, get this out. Because, like, when you're, at least the way I am when I'm dealing with, like, any kind of emotional situation like that, I need to discuss it with somebody. And I think the reason she goes to F with it is that she, well, she talks about it, the whole thing with Nora and Kelly, where she thinks that he cheated before they got divorced.
Yeah.
And so she thinks that he might understand what she's going through, that he has maybe been in love with two people before, because she's interacted with two people that he has been in love with.
I do like the interaction, their common ground, and that they both really, really, really don't like old Lemon Drop. They're really not a fan of him. of course, he screwed her over, and then now he screwed F and everyone in the city over, so F wants to assassinate him. So, of course, the thing you do to calm yourself before you assassinate somebody when you're already a pretty bad shot is to drink a ton of alcohol.
I mean, the thing with this whole, with the whole idea of F using a sniper rifle with, like, Dutch as his, like, spotter, like, next to him, like, these two characters have no experience using a sniper rifle.
Nope.
I can't claim that I do, but purely what I've learned from war movies is that there's a lot that goes into shooting a sniper rifle. You have to calculate for wind.
Trained.
Yeah, you have to calculate for wind. You have to calculate for, like, slight twitches. There's tons of little things.
They're specially trained. It's not even, like, just normal shooting. It's you're friggin' far away, and you have to be specially trained to hit your target.
I mean, I get that there's a scope, and, like, so, like, you could hit, like, you could get close, which is what he did.
Which is what he did.
But, like, to think that you're going to, that your first ever, he didn't even practice. We didn't even see him
but
practice.
But I think part of this, though, is because F is in, like, he's in this mindset where he can do anything, and he's essentially, like, a superhero, and he, in his mind, is, like, a like, lone superhero wolf, so he's,
well,
like,
he feels like he had a responsibility to stop it before it started, and he failed that, so he's trying to do everything he can, whether that's killing Eldritch, or whether that's doing everything. I love the people in the chat. Duke Chronic says, face Palmer. Tom O'Brien says, I thought we finally got lucky and just got rid of that damn Coco storyline.
Nope. Nope.
Nope, she's still
around. I actually think it would have had more emotion. I liked the moment that we realize he shot Coco, because I think that would have had more of an emotional impact or resonance on this show, which to me, as of late, has not had a lot of that. It's been trying to have that, but it hasn't authentically had it. And so in this moment, I feel like we could have had Palmer be turn into something like really bad or very interesting, and that's not going to happen because for whatever reason the Master came back to save her, which I don't even understand, because Palmer has been up until this point the Master's puppet, so why would he care?
Just to keep him on a leash.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting. Like, we got a lot of Coco. Like, we got more with Palmer and Coco in this episode. Like, obviously, when she gets shot, he's going to have a lot to deal with. Yes. The Master... I'm trying to think what... Like, there has to be something... This has to be part of his plan.
It's just the money. It's really... It's the money. You have a guy who can control the building of all the things that he needs to make this... Make the Master's plan work. Again... Remember what we're dealing with, because they haven't really touched on it very often, because we've been getting so much filler, which it seems like next episode is going to be filler with what's going on with Dutch, because it really doesn't move the main story plot along when this one kind of did, is Palmer's building gigantic warehouses that can drain. And if you think about it, you got to think, okay, what is the purpose of those warehouses? Are they for creating new Strigoi? Are they for just eliminating human races? Like... You guys laughed when I brought up the similarities between, like, that, the concentration camps and, like, the killing areas, but it kind of really feels like that.
No, we only laughed at you because you made a horrible pun as you brought them up.
But if you look at Palmer as, like, the savior of New York, and he's trying to be the savior, if he gets to a certain point that the city's not safe anymore, what do you do when the city's not safe? Oh, hey, guys, I'm here with the news organization is going to tell you where it is safe. Come to our shelters. Come to these shelters that are going to keep you safe from the Strigoi problem. Then we're going to fill them with foam and worms, and then you're all going to get turned into Strigoi, and then the entire city of New York is now Strigoi.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on in terms of, like, the buildings there and what they've been working to at this point. I feel like there's more at work, though, besides just Palmer's money. Because if the Master just wanted his money, I don't know why he doesn't just convert him into a full, like, next, like, intelligent Strigoi.
Well, he needs him to be a member of the society.
Yeah. He needs the society to trust him to get them to go into these shelters.
Well, he needs to have someone to go out in daylight.
Yeah.
So you think that I just feel like it seems too easy if the Master just comes in and saves her. There has to be a consequence of that.
I feel like that, too. I feel like there has to be some sort of altering of her character or something.
Yeah, well, now she knows. That's the big... Yeah. Like, at the end of the episode, that is where from her beginning to end, because she's not hurt anymore, but the big change is she now is aware of the Master. Palmer's going to open up to her, probably just tell her everything that's going on. And then it becomes, what does she do with that information? The idea we had of her being undercover is pretty much blown at this point. Yeah. Like, that seems like a dead theory.
But it's interesting because it can move into that territory.
Yes, it could go backwards.
Yes. I do like that moment at the beginning of the episode where he walks up all the stairs and he's like, you walk up 3 flights every time you come in and out?
Filthy casual.
She's like, yeah, that's what people do. You rich... I can't say that word.
I just think
rich
it's
mofo.
Funny.
Rich old lemon drop.
Rich old lemon drop. Good old lemon drop. I think it's funny that she expects him to be the perfect boyfriend with no secrets or anything when he's like 86 and has never...
And clearly shady.
And has never had a girlfriend or anything. Do you really think he's going to know how to handle a relationship with anyone right now? Like, he's freaking lemon drop. You can't just throw a Skittle in there and expect them both to, like, just work together.
Duke Chronic has a good point. The Master might want to use Palmer's love against him.
That's a good point, too.
A good point.
We bring it up a lot. That love is the central theme of this show from the very first few seconds of the series. Love has been the driving thing, and now Palmer is finally, he said, I love you, you guys. He said, I love you, because he slept with her one time.
Aww.
Hey,
you know,
that was his first time, and
we've all made that mistake.
It was going to be his only time.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, you know, if you love TV, and a central theme between TV is love, you guys are going to really like, on Sunday, September 27th, the new series premiere of ABC's highly anticipated new drama, Quantico. Quantico is where FBI trains their top recruits. Over 100,000 young people apply and only 1,200 get in. They are the smartest, strongest, and have the best skills, like Jackie or Zach. Now they must live and train together under one roof, but everything changes when a massive terrorist attack strikes in America. The FBI discovers its greatest fear, that one of their top Quantico recruits is a terrorist. Which one is behind it all, and which one will become and became a traitor? It's an edge-of-your-seat drama with a twist after twist after twist. Priyanka Chopra stars in one of television's top new shows of the fall. Don't miss the series premiere of Quantico, Sunday, September 27th at 10, 9 central on ABC. And I'll tell you one thing, guys. If you're bedridden, like good old Lemon Trop was before he met the master,
right,
or if
you
just
go with this,
really want to binge watch good TV,
if you want to get bed sores while watching television,
you can watch all of The Strain, then you can go and on Sunday, September 27th, watch Quantico.
Yeah, no, you can absolutely do that.
You can watch TV to yourself to death until the master visits you in your room and just squirts some of that white old deliciousness in your mouth and revives you.
That was terrible.
If you get
Mark's face.
Our
it was vampire
Mark.
Goo.
It
not
was vampire
what
you
goo.
Think.
I don't
it was
believe
like,
you.
It was like Twilight goo, like Edward goo.
It wasn't.
Is that what they did in Twilight?
I mean, she had a
if
baby,
right? If
only
they didn't have penises in Twilight. It was almost like they didn't.
Would have been a very different movie.
Yes, it would have.
Or would it? Anyway. So, Palmer is... I did love the scene with... oh, my God. With
I love
the German
with the German
I course
thank you, because I had Eldridge in front of me and the two E names,
I get things confused sometimes,
it threw me off. Anyway, I course little scene, he's like, you want the master to come and bless him with his divine, I don't know what that accent was, don't judge me,
with his divine,
yeah. This is divine.
but he's like, he's so revelry in the masters, like, he's the greatest thing that has ever graced.
I just, it was so funny watching this scene to me, because I'm like, oh, Igors, you're just jealous because you don't have a penis, so you don't know what's up with
Palmer. So you just got to chain blondes up in your basement after your bed
and
breakfast got those
bad reviews.
And
then do a makeover.
I watched the bed and breakfast with Eichhorst. It was pretty
it's
good.
It's pretty ridiculous.
If you haven't seen it. Tickled Tea Lady says, watch Coco. We'll find out that she is pregnant. Palmer is going to be so happy, and the master will be back in the back giggling with Eichhorst, making snide comments about the new prince or whatever.
That would be amazing.
Oh, you think the master's white goo is a close relation to human?
I actually really want to see that.
I mean, you never know. A lot of people think, like, how was Quinlan born? How did that happen? Did the master fornicate, or did the master do something else?
He can't fornicate. He doesn't have a...
He has a finger.
They have different biology than us, Jackie.
Yes. What?
Their middle fingers are, like, three times as long for some reason.
Look at the size of that tongue. It has all kinds of
uses. We're ruining it. Let's do this.
All right. What did you guys think about? Did you guys have anything else about Palmer?
Good old Lemon Drop.
No.
Good old Lemon Drop. His storyline.
Well, we have to talk about the scene between him and F. When F's
oh
in
yeah,
jail.
We'll talk about that with the
with
we'll,
Ephraim. Okay.
Why don't we get into Ephraim and hit like his assassination attempt? We already discussed how poorly thought out it was. At least practice. Call of Duty
does
not count.
He has the power of alcohol.
He has the power. Hey, every man who works at the CDC is trained in sniper rifles in case they one day become the head of the CDC.
No, that's
so
not.
No.
He is now proficient in sniper rifles and has earned his blue ribbon.
He got fired. He's going to then the position is open, but he's going to have to reapply.
I mean,
a lot easier to throw somebody off a bus than it is to be a sniper.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It was a train, Jackie.
That's right, it was a train.
Get your insults right.
It was a train.
Anyway, once he shot Coco and gets arrested, like...
Worst escape plan ever. And how did that guy know it was them?
I
yes, that's what I was wondering.
I wanted to ask you guys that same question, because I was so confused. They bump in. So here's what happens. They bump into each other. We see a flash of the cop's badge. I thought for a second that, like, F had swiped something off of him.
What I was thinking is, honestly, they're in New York, and if somebody bumps into you and you don't go, watch where you're going! Like, I feel like since they didn't say anything, the guy was like, wait a second, they're not assholes.
No, that's not how it really is in New York. New York, you bump into somebody, you say nothing. No apology, you keep going, because you got stuff to do.
Listen, goatee man, officer man.
Creepy, rapey officer guy.
Goatee officer guy. Some reason, he's brilliant enough to figure out that F, at that distance, is the same person, even though he removed his cap. Guys.
Yeah, there's a couple points in this that I'm, like, confused about. One, how did they know exactly what building to go to if they were far enough away to need a sniper rifle?
That, I mean, that is something that people can tell, people who know anything about guns would be able to tell automatically which
just
building.
Like this, where
just
this,
like
this,
the Kennedy assassination.
Just the sound. Well, over time, with time and all that, but here's another thing. When Coco got shot, everyone was on top of Palmer. No one even was tending to Coco in the moment. Like, Palmer looks over at her, and she's
because
just
Palmer
lying
pays their bills.
There.
Palmer pays their bills.
Well, no, it made sense to cover him, because he's obviously the target, but nobody was even like, oh my god, we need to help her. Yeah. She's dying.
Brianna didn't think that Coco was going to live, because they had her, like, not just, like, they had her, like, eyes open. Like,
yeah!
Like,
she was dead.
Straight dead.
I thought she was... Sure.
I thought she was straight dead.
I thought it was funny, though, because they're literally the most conspicuous people with a rifle over the edge of the building. Then the guards arrive, and the guards look right at them and are like...
Nah.
And the guards are like, all right, clear.
But they're still looking, but they miss them. So I guess they're close enough. So, okay.
The grassy
knoll. I'll give them finding the building. Mm-hmm. But then let's go to the next step, where they, like, run down the stairs, and they're, like, sidling out alongside everybody else.
I call no way and bullshit, because there's too many, you're at such a far distance, and there's too many people who are dressed in the same kind of thing, like a black coat.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, like, even if they knew which building it was, I don't know how they knew what to look for.
Right.
Because they were high up, like, they were at least six stories up. From that distance, maybe you caught, like, a glimpse of blonde. But nothing else. So removing the hat doesn't change any part of it. I just don't know how they identified who they would be looking for.
And I don't know how
And then the bump doesn't add anything to that.
No, it did not. It was just like, it was more of F's being extremely awkward when he didn't need to be awkward. He is like...
the worst at being undercover.
Yeah, he's the most conspicuous person on the face of the planet.
Guys,
and not because he's, like, trying to be.
Maybe it's Occam's razor.
He's so bad at it.
Honestly, maybe it's Occam's razor. That for this entire time, nobody has paid attention to the fact that F's face was plastered on televisions for the entire week. And maybe this is, like, the one time that they're going to throw back to that, like, oh, because he's a detective, he would know who Ephraim is because they've been looking for him for a long time. I can give him that.
Maybe.
They just haven't mentioned it, but I can give it to him.
But that's still, even if you recognized Ephraim, what do you
Why
have to
you
connect that to
sniper?
A
yeah.
sniper attack?
Yeah.
I mean, hey.
And I don't understand how this man, this police officer with the goatee, was supposed to be so brilliant that he could figure out that it was F who was the sniper, but he could not figure out, don't open the door and let the vampires into the police.
Hey, he didn't let them in. He got distracted and went to the front where he said, OS, and started firing, and then he survived. So there's also the fact that he survived an attack by a bunch of Strigoi when nobody else did. So is he with the master? Is he something else? Like, you never know.
Yeah.
Because how else would he have been able to recognize Dutch and know exactly what to do with Dutch?
I mean, whoever they work for, they're connected enough to Eichhorst to eventually be delivering Dutch to him.
So, I mean, he might just be on Eichhorst's payroll, and that's why they saved him and didn't kill him.
I mean, I was like, that was so messed up when they, like, dragged Dutch away. I straight up thought the cops were just going to take her away and rape her. Like, that's how they played it. Like, that's just from what is in what I've seen in television, that's sort of how they played it. And it, in essence, that's more or less where it's going, but with vampire.
I mean, with scenes from next week, yeah. I'm not going to say them yet because they're not there yet, but yeah.
But it was in that way. It felt horrifying for that reason. Like, to the show's credit, like, I was genuinely scared for Dutch. Because who knows? Because two cops send everyone out of the room and then drag this girl out of her prison cell so that there are no witnesses. It's a frightening thing to be involved in.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you're wondering, where are, I mean, where do you, and I know we deal with this already in the real world, but where do you get the authority to just beat up your suspects?
Yeah.
They haven't proven of anything. And so you're beating the crap out of F. You're grabbing Dutch forcefully. And now we know that, like, they grabbed her to get rid
of the, to deliver her to vampire death. Yeah. Some horrifying stuff. But
Mr. Reese has called you Bill Cosby, Zach.
What?
No.
for that Dutch comment.
That's terrible.
Why am I Bill Cosby?
I don't, because you're
because I comment. Mentioned that, like, they played that, the show played it that way.
I mentioned it in Graceland once, and people got really mad.
I'm sorry. No, well, I want to. Well, if anyone really was mad. Offended, I want to apologize. I'm just that was, but that's the vibe, and I meant it to be to the show's credit that, like, that was the horrifying image that they put out, and that's not. Like, they were treating it lightly, or that I want to treat it lightly in any way.
Eichhorst is pretty rapey. I mean, his eyes, like, and his smile is, like...
I mean, he's a
well,
Nazi.
Well, the thing that's interesting is he's more of a Buffalo Bill character, almost.
God.
He's, like, putting the makeup on Dutch in the upcoming scene.
It
and
puts the
just,
lipstick
like,
on its lips.
It puts the lipstick God. On its
we'll
lips.
We'll get into the next on.
He's,
and,
like,
oh,
humming to himself,
the,
8-2-3-0-3-8-5.
I really want somebody to record, like, a full version of that. We should get on that.
Yes.
So... by the end, they get rescued.
Well, F does.
F does. Sorry,
the
F gets rescued.
The crony cop they put in the cell with him does not get rescued.
That was a cool visual, though.
Yeah,
that was
all
like
all the like the
like
stingers.
Tucked against the wall.
Yes.
You flinch the slightest bit,
yeah,
and you're dead.
And I mean. That was one of that. It was a situation where Fett came just in time because that guy on the floor would eventually have to rise.
I know. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, oh, now he's locked in with one
because
the guy was too stupid to just let it go, like not try to pick up his damn clip or whatever he was trying to get. Like dumbass. I don't know.
All right. Well.
Sorry, I was reading the thing.
No.
Steven, do you have some iTunes discuss? Because
I have
guys,
a shout out. I have a shout out for Adam Fink and his brother Evan, who I'm assuming since he's your brother, his last name is Fink. It's a YouTube shout out. And that was my shout out.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Well, thanks. You guys, we say it all the time, and we'll do it real quick because you know this drill. Go on to iTunes, hit us with a review and a rating, hit us 5 stars. I hope that you like the show. It's a big help to us, a big help to the network as a whole. It helps put the Strain After Show in the forefront of people's searches, helps them find everything that they're looking for. Check it out. Steven, do we have any shout outs from iTunes this
we
week?
We have one shout out. What voice would you like, Zach?
Can you just do Stephen Lemieux?
I have no idea.
Eichhorst is Buffalo Bill.
Eichhorst is Buffalo Bill. What? By Jim Lee 815. I cannot do that. I don't know. In the show's context, it makes sense that the show isn't moving forward. I still think they're making progress in relation to the books. We'll see where this one ends. And if it's true to the books, we might... dun 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 dun. Might see something that will throw the audience for a loop. I'm giving it until the end of the seasons. So far, except for a couple characters, it's following the book. Okay.
Well, except for the oxytolumen.
Yeah. Oxytolumen.
That plot line in the book was my favorite plot line in the book, and it's not in the show. So it's making me mad.
Wait, the book plot line was the best book plot line?
To me, it was.
Well, let's talk about the lumen.
The other, well, there are other plot lines that I enjoyed, but they haven't come up yet, so yeah. I don't want to.
Well, let's talk about the lumen hunt. I love the first scene when they go into the dance party.
Yeah.
Because seeing Satrakian walk into this, like, EDM, like, strobe party is the funniest image.
It was really funny.
That was a fun scene. It was really cool. It was really well directed. The action was cool. I want more Satrakian fighting vampires in Dance Club.
Totally don't remember that.
Oh, Steve.
I don't, like, no, honestly, I watched the episode, like, last night. I don't remember that.
It was when they first go
it was
into,
funny.
They go into the first apartment because they're tracking down that anybody by this name.
Yeah, Finescu, whatever.
Yeah, anybody with the name Finescu.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why I can't remember that. Maybe my memory is just really bad.
I don't even know if I'm saying that right. It's Rudyard Finescu.
They're looking for Rudyard Kipling.
Yeah. Yes, which is what I keep saying in my head, and yep. It's not correct.
When he, at the end, when he, like, hit him over the head, all I could think is, man, Rudyard Kipling is a dick.
That dick.
He's like, don't steal my book, man. Hey, I saved you when you were a kid, jerk off.
Yeah, I think that he'd be more, well, let's they, real quick, they, like, go through all those, they keep going through, and they find, they go through the antique bookstore, which seems like the perfect place.
I actually, if they would have found it in the antique bookstore, I was going to throw my, I don't know, pen at the television set. That was very anticlimactic. But it would have been too obvious for them to find the book in the bookstore.
Yeah, but Steven, you had a good point.
Well, I was watching it, and when he looks in the mirror and you see the Strigoi walk up behind him, and then he kills it, and then he looks at it and he's like, oh, Finescu! And he's like, oh, and then he leaves. I was like, why did he leave already? Couldn't it still be there? And then my girlfriend brought up the point of, well, if the master had turned him already, she would have all his he would have all his memories, so the book's either gone or it's not there anymore, or yeah. Never was. So that's why he just left all the way. And then they go to the next place.
Yeah.
Which somebody likes to leave the door open at their apartment complex, dooming everybody inside when there's vampires around.
I mean, you just waited for a guy to leave. Strachan's got all the ways in, though. He just presses all the buttons on the thing until somebody's just like, whatever, I'm not getting up. Even though we're in, like, a war zone where there's crazy monsters everywhere.
I ain't getting up.
I don't want to ask who's there.
Speaking of which, I know we were supposed to have moved on from the Palmer storyline, which is tied up in the Feraldo storyline right now, but that 1% property tax that they're doing, everyone's up in arms about it. I'm like, you're in a vampire apocalypse.
Yeah.
What do you care?
We'll get into Feraldo. We'll definitely get into Feraldo and all of her. But just before we move on from Satrakian and the Lumen, what did you guys think about the last scene where he finally finds the silver-clad Lumen?
It's a book, and it's got a cover that's silver. I found it under a floorboard. That's where I put things.
I hope he can read whatever language that was.
I'm glad it's in German, so I can read it.
It was in German.
Was it?
German. Okay.
Yeah, it was German. I mean, I'm excited that they found the book. I'm still disappointed that it didn't match anything in the actual book.
It really...
Oh, hey, guys. Duke Chronic. That's the reason why Satrakian left immediately, is because Rudyard's father burned his ear off, and he remembered that. So when he rolled the head over, it was to check his ear, so the ear wasn't burned off, so he knew it wasn't the right one.
And I'm betting, and we have a lot of fans in the chat role asking, who do you think the guy is at the end? I'm like 99.99999% sure it's Rudyard Finescu.
Yeah, that's most likely it.
Or, like, I mean, it could be his kid at this point.
Right,
like,
a relative, someone who owns the book and is keeping it.
Yeah.
And doesn't want it to get out.
Yeah, that seems logical.
And keep in mind, like, the only information this person has is that Satrakian broke into their place. This old man broke into their place. But they don't know, like, what
he doesn't necessarily
about
know
it's
that
for.
It's Satrakian too. Right. I mean, they know they're clearly aware because of dealing with the cardinal that Satrakian is a person,
right?
That like they know
but
who
they don't
he
know
is.
Who this old man
I think
is.
I think it'd be interesting if he did know, because what's interesting is that Satrakian was the same person who he saw when he was younger, with the sword, the same sword and everything, looking fairly similar. And now he's seeing Satrakian, like, 40 years later, and he looks pretty much similar. So he's probably kind of caught off guard that it looks that he looks the same, so is he a vampire is probably what he's thinking.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I like the book really reminded me of Grimm. It looked exactly looked like all the books from Grimm.
Yes, it does look like all the books from Grimm.
The sketches of the monsters and the language I can't read.
Yeah, which is typically German for that show. Yeah.
It should have been just the guide to binding books in silver. Like he opens it and it's like, oh, how to bind books in silver. Great.
Boo.
All right, well, let's talk about the plot that I have deemed Feraldo of Loxley.
Feraldo of Loxley.
Because she's going to take from the rich.
I'm a dread pirate Feraldo.
She's going to take from the rich and save
the
rich.
Herself.
Like, she's not giving to herself. She's going to use it to save people.
There's the plot line I don't understand is how...
the mayor
was Eichhorst talks Palmer into who was the one who talked Palmer into talking?
The mayor.
It was the mayor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The mayor talks Palmer into talking to Feraldo, which makes absolutely no sense to me because he's like, why don't you talk now that we've established you have no relationship with this woman whatsoever? Why don't you talk her into XYZ? That is the dumbest idea ever. Wouldn't you pick someone of influence that you knew who already had a relationship with her?
Like, you would think.
That's just negotiation 101. You don't send someone in who doesn't know what they're doing.
I don't know. I think Eichhorst is going to be ending up paying all of them. He's going to pay her everything that the 1% would have paid and kind of try to have her as his own little subjugation unit.
Hmm. I mean, that could be interesting to if he just is like, I'll take the hit. It makes sense for Palmer trying to, like, again, be the savior of the city. So now he's ingrained himself with both sides.
But I also don't know, like, if he's actually ever going to connect up with her now because he was, there was an assassination attempt on his way and he talked to her, and now he's too busy being like, oh, Coco, you're back from the dead. We should shag.
I'm in love with the Coco.
I'm in love with the Coco.
We can shag, Coco. You're back.
Stuck on my lemon drop.
That was the master. Oh, Coco, old lemon drop's here for you. The master provides.
Well, you know, Coco and Lemon Drop, they're both good for the throat. It's,
where are we going with this?
I don't know. I'm not even sure anymore. Yeah, it's very, very strange.
Strange.
Yeah, yep. So by the end of this, the big thing is the rich Upper East Side people are up in arms. How dare you? This is unconstitutional. I'm going to get a judge.
I want my money in this vampire apocalypse.
Rich people. It's called martial law. It's the same thing as when they would come around and take all of your rubber away during World War II or One or whatever that was.
You're going to hate me so much.
Oh, God.
Previously on Strennington Abbey.
No. No. Actually, that would be kind of fun, but we're not doing
Eldritch Palmer was seen with a young secretary at what likes to be a blind restaurant with his hand on her knee.
Most scandalous.
Most scandalous indeed. Oh, God.
It's what it became in the scene, though.
It's this, you know, it's becoming that, though, a little bit.
They're trying to make it that
way. But so here, the thing is, I don't know how... They can't say it's unconstitutional because this is a war. Like, this is, for all intents and purposes, this is martial law. And that gives them certain rights to take things as necessary.
Now, the only problem is whether or not Feraldo, yes, she's, like, she's been tasked with ridding the vampires this one section of New York at a time. But whether or not she was the person who should be giving that order, I guess is up for debate.
Yeah. So
it leaves us with three questions. And do you guys know what those questions are?
What?
Where the hell is Gus?
Yes.
Where the hell is Angel de la Platina?
Yes.
Where the hell is Quinlan?
Yes.
Where are they?
Where are our favorite characters?
Where's, I would almost love this show if they, all the characters that we dealt with this week went away and we dealt with all the characters we haven't seen. Cause if you got like Kelly and Quinlan and the Ancients and all them and Gus in a show, forget all this
now,
stuff.
Now the Ancients,
that's
those,
a good episode.
The Ancients are my other favorite plot line. So I feel like this is just delaying what I like. We had a fan though ask me on Twitter. His name is Eric. He said, "Since Kelly gets her memories back, does that mean she's aware of what happened to her?"
Yeah, at Brad Brown 81, I wanted to shout him out as well. I was tweeting back and forth with him, and then how did you guys feel? Because I think that Kelly is fully it. Strigoi Kelly and Kelly are two completely different people. Once they're converted, this is a new person. The memories still exist. Her memories of everything before are still there, but they're just like a book.
Yes,
they're there as like a textbook that she can access and read. The question is though, because you can get into a whole philosophical debate about, is this a person? Is a person anything but their memories? Mm-hmm. Do memories make you who you are? Because your life affects who you become.
Unfortunately, we don't have time to get into philosophical debate, but The Strain seems to have two more seasons to do it. So
yeah.
maybe they'll tackle that.
I feel like she has no emotional connection to who she used to be, and that's why.
Well, I think she has the love. A little bit. Yeah, I think that there is,
the
with the memories.
There's a difference between obsession and love.
The thin line. The very thin line between obsession and love. I think that it's less that it is an obsession, but it's driven by Kelly's love for Zach. And the Strigoi Kelly has those memories, and I think that the memories are affecting her. So it's driving her in certain directions, as it does with all the Strigoi, to attack the ones they love. So it's the memories the memories do affect her. But this Strigoi Kelly isn't Kelly,
mm-hmm.
and that's I think the big thing. It'll be interesting to see if it event what it does once she is actually going to attack Zach.
So in the chat, they're asking who's watching F's kid.
That's a good question.
I'm going to predict something real quick. Are we ready for predictions?
Yeah, let's go into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
We have three episodes left, so I predict they're going to dedicate one of those episodes to Zach being alone at the compound in a Home Alone-esque comedy situation.
Yes!
With Strigoi trying to get in and slipping on oil and stepping their toes on nail.
Oh my God,
and having
yes.
paint cans hitting them in the face.
This is my house.
Joe Pesci will play one of the Strigoi.
Yes!
I want to see that
Brilliant.
So badly.
Brilliant.
So bad.
I predict a lot. Also, I predict a Strain Sleepy Hollow crossover.
I would like that.
That would be great.
That would be
better than Bones.
It would make more sense. You know, a Strigoi coming into Sleepy Hollow. That would make sense.
Yeah. I'd watch
Somebody
that.
Somebody wrote, Palmer should kill Zach and do us all a solid.
I know. He's such a dick on our show. I mean, you need the kid, Zach.
I still, long for the storyline where Zach becomes the master. That would have been cool.
And like some Damien
I
child.
I do think that would
child
be cool.
of the corn kind of level.
Yeah, exactly. Jackie, what are you thinking for next week?
I can't make predictions.
Oh, that's right.
My only prediction, which this is, it's the Rudyard Finescu is not a book character. So my prediction is that the guy who hit him on the head is either Rudyard Finescu Kipling or his kid or something.
Okay. Rory Kipling.
Rudyard Kipling. Yeah. It's much easier.
I agree. I don't think it's Rudyard himself. I think it's probably his kid. Just the timeline doesn't add. Well, it was the 60s when he found the kid? So he could still be there and kicking.
I think that Satrakian's going to have to kill him.
You think?
Yeah. Book's cursed. They make a point to say the book's cursed. So it might not be the book itself, it might be the things you have to put your soul through to get the book. So maybe. I haven't seen Satrakian really kill humans, so I think...
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't yet, at least as we've seen it. But it would definitely drive his character to a new, like, dark place. That could be very interesting to see.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I have no idea. I don't know if we're going to have Dutch for very much longer. It doesn't look good for her.
I'm going to be so mad if they kill Dutch. I'm going to be so mad.
Frankly, I'll be mad too. And I say that, like, I think that somebody on this show is going to die soon. Yeah. Before the end of the season, I think we're going to lose one of the major characters on this show. I would even hazard so far as to say I think Ephraim might not make it out of the season.
No.
I do think we're going to lose a main character.
I think if we're going to lose a main character, it's going to be Fett.
Maybe.
I think he's the one who's most unstable. And you had, when they could have found the Ox and Lumen to take out stuff, Fett was like, this is more important.
I could see Fett dying. I would love to see one of them turn as well. That could also be an interesting twist. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's either Fett or it's Ephraim. I don't think the two of them will make it out of this season alive.
I mean, maybe Kelly takes on Fett and they both end up dead.
Yeah, but I would love to see Dutch survive because she's finally becoming she's a good character.
She's a survivor.
She's a good character, and I don't
keep on surviving.
It wouldn't be devastating enough to lose her to warrant losing her character from this dynamic.
Yeah.
Unless Fett's going to go, like, hook up with Nikki, but that'd be real weird.
Hey-o.
love triangle. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us this week for The Strain here at AfterBuzz TV. Stephen Lemieux, where can the people keep up with you?
You guys follow me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, STPHENLEMIUX. Go ahead and follow me and tweet at me. And also, this Thursday, for the Graceland finale after show, where the creator and executive producer and showrunner said he wants to come on the show, so we're trying to make that work. So that'll be fun. So tune into that. If you're a big fan of White Collar, he also was the creator of that show as well.
Jackie?
You can find me on my website, 123jackieme.com. But I'm also taking a moment to plug AIDS Walk because I've joined my company's AIDS Walk team. So if anyone's interested in donating to AIDS Walk, the link is on my page. I want to thank Renando Carolina. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but he's a Strain fan and an Under the Dome fan, and he donated to my page. And so did Omar, who's a longtime fan of Sleepy Hollow, actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, guys, well, you can follow me on Twitter at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. And also here afterwards, a whole bunch of shows, including Dominion Next with Jackie B. Starting this Sunday, we're going to be talking Doctor Who after the Season 9 premiere. I'm so excited. We just put up a really fun promo on the AfterBuzz site. You can also find it on my Twitter. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starts up next week with a Season 2 recap. You can join us there.
One more
Stephen
thing.
Stephen has something to say.
Sorry, I didn't want to cut your thing off short, but somebody dared us to pronounce their name right in the chat. So I have to say it. It's Kuakalias Sombragui. There you go. All right.
Can't see it, so
Kuakalias Sombragui.
Sombragui.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're wrong, but that's it. All right, guys.
I'm sorry.
Have a good night. I'm Zach Wilson. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.